4. And let's all read together verse 23 and verse 24. John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24. Do y'all have it? Let's read it together, okay? But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and reality. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and reality. Let's read this again. And again, if we could read the word truth as reality. Okay. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and reality. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship in spirit and reality. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what should we speak about tonight? This is the last night of the conference. You know, after these last 2.5 days of the conference and what was being spoken, I think we still need to come back to this main point regarding what the Father, God our Father, is seeking for. He's looking for the true worshipers. What is the true worshipers? You know, today, before coming to the meeting, I just happened to check the news. I mean, well, actually, I wasn't trying to check the news, but on my phone, the news pops up and it tells me some things that are going on. And what you see is there was an article about this terrorist group that beheaded 21 Egyptian Christians. And they did it in the name of God, I think. I don't know what they did it for, but for Allah, right? Okay. And when you read that news article, you're just kind of, the first thing that comes into your head is, what kind of a God are they worshiping to cause them to do something like that, right? And you might say, well, what is this relevant to what we're speaking about? We all need to realize today, many people of mankind today, they are worshiping something. Some worship an idol statue. Others worship books of creeds that describe Allah, whatever that is. There's so many different types of, quote, worship. And everyone's debating that. How do you know you're worshiping the right God? And how do you know this and that regarding the worship? And even amongst the Christians today, everybody argues about the worship. Right? So it's important for us to, if we want to worship God, number one, we need to know who this God is. Right? We have to realize this God is a wonderful creator, who created such a wonderful earth for man to enjoy. You think about it. We've been speaking about Christ as the good land. And we've seen how wonderful just this physical earth is. It's a beautiful earth. And this beautiful, rich earth provides everything that man needs. From the basic needs of eating and drinking, to clothing, to so many things that we can enjoy. And who on this earth can fully appreciate the things that were created, both on earth and in the heavens? Can a dog, man's best friend, enjoy the riches of this earth? Can a dog do that? Think about it. Can a dog really enjoy all and appreciate all of the riches of God's creation? Can it? Absolutely not. All it wants is its bone to chew on and bury and bark at people, right? There's so many things that God created, but only one thing that God created that can fully appreciate all that God has provided, and this is man. So, if man was created with the intention to appreciate all of what God has, then it's better be important for us to get to know who this wonderful living creator is. But unfortunately, this man decided not to listen to his creator and was deceived by God's enemy. And God's enemy's name is Satan, or the devil. And caused man, by deceiving man, tricking man, lying to man, to partake of a fruit that would make them, supposedly gives man the equivalent knowledge to be equal with God. But this was also the fruit that God said, if you partake of this tree, you will surely die. Right? And when man partook of it, man was destined to die. But what part of man died first? The deepest part within man, called the human spirit. And because your spirit, because man's spirit died, immediately whatever communications we had with God was cut off. Right. And because of that, man then decided to go his own way. Communications cut off with this wonderful creator. And as a result, sin entered in. And in the end, if you look at all of man's history, what is the result of sin? We know it's ultimately death. But you can see how mismanaged this earth is today. And yet man is still trying to, quote, worship some kind of religion, some statue, because they don't have anything else. Why? Because you have to realize man is created in such a way to do what? To be the true worshipers. So there's that desire to worship something. This is why man is trying to find things to worship. This is why, again, coming back to the true worshipers, this is a very important matter. As Christians today, we need to know who we are worshiping. But if you are not yet, if your spirit is still dead, you're still in sin, there is no way you will ever know what God desires. Right? This is what I was saying, Chris. You have to be born of God to know this wonderful living God who created this wonderful universe. You have to be born again. Because God is what? Spirit. God is spirit. If your spirit is dead, you cannot talk to God. It's impossible. Right? If your uncle was dead, can you talk to him? Huh? No, really. If he's dead, let's say he's in the coffin dead, can you talk to him? Huh? Yes or no? No, right. Of course. I mean, it's obvious, right? But for some reason, man doesn't realize that if their spirit is dead, they cannot communicate with God. They cannot have fellowship with God. If you cannot have fellowship with God, how can you know what is on his heart? And how can you then become a true worshiper? Right? Do you want to know this wonderful living God? You're not sure yet. Do you want to know, though? Aren't you even a bit curious? Yeah. So if you're a bit curious, then it's simple. You just need to be born of God and you will get to know all of God is. That is so simple. We are not talking about a religion here, brothers and sisters. And Chris, we're not talking about a religion. We're talking about having a wonderful relationship with God our Father, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who created you. This is who we're speaking about. But for us to be a true worshiper, number one is we need to be born of God. That means this part within our being must be born again. And we have to praise our wonderful God for providing the way to be born of the Spirit. And that is through this man named Jesus Christ. We've been talking about Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. When you confess, Lord Jesus, right now, I want to receive you because I am a sinner. I want to be born of God. I want to receive you as my life. With that simple prayer, with the faith in your heart, you're born of God. Because that deepest part within you will be reborn, will be made alive. And once you have that, you can immediately begin to have a dialogue, to pray, and to worship the Father. Right? And actually, when you open up to receive Christ at this point, this is your first opportunity to experience Christ as your sin offering. The one who has redeemed you, the one who has taken you out of this present evil age and brought you and bring you into God's kingdom. And when he brings you into God's kingdom, then you can begin to experience and enjoy such a wonderful God. That's what we're talking about this whole weekend, right? I know you heard a lot of things that might kind of like doesn't make sense. Well, yeah, because it doesn't make sense quite yet because you have not yet been born of God. But once you are born of God, you can begin to partake of everything that we've spoken, and you will then get to see ultimately the goal. Because tonight we want to speak about the goal. What is the goal of being a true worshiper of God? What is the goal of laboring in this wonderful good land? Right? You have to realize this is not a religion. Because religion, in the end, leaves you in misery. It really does. Because all you're thinking about is keeping laws, keeping sets of rules. But what we're speaking about here is full of life, full of enjoyment. There's so much more about God than whatever you already know about from this world. Right? So to be the true worshipers, we need to know, number one, who is our living God? But you will not know who your living God is unless you have been born of the Spirit. And if you're born of the Spirit, then immediately you're brought into his family, immediately you're brought into communications with him, and you will begin to know the living God. God as your Father, your heavenly Father. Not your earthly Father, but your heavenly Father. No. What can your earthly Father give to you as an inheritance, Brian? Maybe a house? That's good. That's good. As an inheritance, a house. That's good. I think most earthly fathers would love to give their children all that they have eventually, once they've grown up and matured. They're not going to give you everything when you're like 5 years old, right? Right. Exactly. Well, it's the same thing with our wonderful God. Our God has given us something marvelous. He wants to give us all that he has, right? But we can't even begin to partake of that inheritance until we've been born of God. So it's important. So the true worshipers, the first requirement that we need to realize is we need to be born of God. Not only to receive Christ by confessing his name, but also being baptized into him, being put into Christ. And once we are in Christ, he's in us, we're in Christ, we are fully qualified to have fellowship and to worship God our Father. And as we get to know this wonderful God, then we will also begin to know what he desires. And as we've been seeing, God our Father requires us, if we want to worship him, where must we go? To your house or to his house? Whose house? His house. And his house is what? The church today. In spirit and reality. It's the church. The church is spiritual. It is not a building on the corner. But the Spirit begins within each one of us. Chris, have you ever considered when you're born of God, your spirit now becomes the dwelling place of this wonderful God of this universe. And he can dwell inside of you. Why? Is that mind-blowing? The God of this universe would come to dwell in your spirit. This is wonderful. And this is where it starts, in the spirit, in the church, because it's not just each one of us individually, but all of us collectively as the family of God. We, as the family of God, is the household of God. And as the household of God, we are the temple. We are the spiritual temple of the living God. And if this is the case, what does God our Father want us to do in His house, in the temple of God? What does He want us to do? Alex, what does He want us to do? The what? What? Are you confident in what you just said? Okay, then speak it boldly. God our Father desires offerings. Come on. Our God, our wonderful God of this universe, what He desires of His people into becoming. Firstly, we got to come to His house. And once we're in His house, He wants His offerings. Right? He wants His food, doesn't He? You come, you go home, you want food, right? Yes. Well, if we come to God's home, doesn't He want His food too? Yes. So we have offerings. And who is this? Who is the offerings? Christ. Christ is the reality of all the spiritual sacrifices. And this is what the Father desires. God our Father wants His food. He wants us as His holy priesthood to prepare the offerings so that He can enjoy. But who else gets to enjoy? At what time does God want us to bring the food, bring the offerings? At what time does He want us to do this? When? At the feast. This is the appointed time. It's the feast. This is why God our Father wants to keep the feasts. Do you see that now? Are you confident in that? Right? God our Father, our living Father, gave us the location where we should go, told us what we should bring to offer to Him, and at the appointed time, keeping the feasts. Right? And so today, we get to have a feast with our living God every week. On the Lord's Day, like last night, wasn't that feast rich? Think about it. I mean, there are so many offerings that were brought to the Father. Were you satisfied? Was the Father satisfied? For sure, if the Father was satisfied, I believe we are all satisfied, right? This is what the Father wants us to do, is to bring the spiritual sacrifices. But it has to be at the appointed time, which is at the feasts, at the feast of the Lord's table. And we also really enjoyed in the table meeting. I think we're all learning to begin to realize there's so much more to enjoy, to experience, to feast upon during the Lord's table than just His precious blood for forgiving us our sins. That's your starting place, is thanking the Lord for shedding His blood to have your sins forgiven, so that you can become a child of God. But how do you become a child of God? He has the Spirit of resurrection entered into your spirit to make you alive. This is the feast. And this is the feast that we can praise Him for on the Lord's Day. So many things that Christ has given to us that we can partake of and to praise Him at His table meeting. So what you have in the true worship of the Father is you have God giving us the feast. Christ is the feast for us to enjoy. And then we also have the offerings that we bring back up to the Father for Him to enjoy. So it's a mutual enjoyment together with the Father. We also realized for us to be able to prepare the offerings and for us to have the harvest time of the feast, where do you get the food from? Where do you get the produce from? The good land. Christ as the good land. Christ as this wonderful, rich, good land that we can all partake of. But we also realize that this land is not an ATM. It's not an ATM where you can just draw money out endlessly. But it's a land that He needs us to labor in, to be able to plant, to be able to sow the seeds, the ability for the fruits to be produced so that we can then begin to enjoy and also to labor on, to bring forth the offerings and for us to enjoy the feasts, right? So we need to see this picture. If you have not yet received the Lord, I would encourage you, receive the Lord. Then you can enter in to the reality of being a true worshiper, right? And today we spoke a lot about the matter of laboring, right? And I think the point was pretty clear that we should all be diligent. As a farmer, you have to be hardworking. You do need to be consistent in how you labor on the land. And I think it's good for us to realize that Christ isn't just a gift that God gave to us. Yes, it is a free gift. You have to realize eternal life is a free gift from God to you. But now the question is, what will you do with the Christ that God has given us? And for us to be able to enjoy, to experience Christ, which results in a change in our life, which causes us to be transformed, that requires us to spend some time to labor in the land. And that does require some diligence to do that. And so I wanted to just touch on some things. And what is it that we do to labor? What is it that we do to labor? If you think about when you prepare a garden, right? How many of you have ever prepared a garden? Okay, a few of you. Okay. Not even for a science fair in school? You didn't prepare a garden in science fair in school? Okay. Oh, come on. All right. You've been deprived. Okay. So, you know, in our backyard, when I was in eighth grade, we had an area of the backyard that my mom said we're going to use to produce fruit. And this is something that I also started doing up until a number of years ago because I just ran out of time. Well, the point is, when you prepare a garden, what do you do when you prepare a garden? Now, as we heard, if you start in the winter time or in springtime, the ground is very what?
Hard.
So what do you have to do to the ground? You have to till it, right? You have to dig it up. Or wait till it's warm. But if you live where I live, then you don't have to wait. You can already start digging up. So you need to soften up the earth, right? The ground needs to be softened, right? And then when you're tilling the ground, when you're digging it and you're turning the soil over, you'll notice that there are rocks hidden down underneath. And also while you're working on the ground to prepare it, you also know there's a lot of weeds that you have to also take out. Until you soften up, until you dig out the hidden stones, until you take out the weeds, the ground is not prepared for you to plant a garden, right? And so this is a picture of our heart today. We need to realize, yes, there are so many things that are, quote, distracting us, distractions and things like that. We already talked about this morning. But we need to take care of this. How do we take care of it? Have we considered about taking care of it? Right? Have we asked the Lord, Lord, you know, this hard heart, how do I get a heart that's soft? Right? Now, why does our heart harden? Have you ever thought about why your heart hardens? How many of us go to work? And how many of you, when you go to work, take the same road back and forth on the highways? Yeah. Okay. How many of you go to school? And how many of you walk to school? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. It's Canada. Okay. But if you go back and forth on the same path. Now you think about it. On a farm. Okay, I'll tell you on a farm. And this is what I saw on the farm. If there's a path that you have to walk back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth every single day, what happens to that line of soil? It gets really hard. And it gets so hard that there's no way for you to plant a seed in it. And if you try to plant a seed in it, what will happen? The birds will come away, come and take the seed away. This is the problem. So if you think about your daily routine, day by day by day, you go into this daily routine, daily routine, daily routine. And then on the Lord's Day, some seeds are planted into your heart. What do you think is going to happen to those seeds? Huh? Not just nothing. What's going to happen to the seeds? It'll be taken away. Immediately it'll be taken away. The minute you step out of that door, it's gone. Or no, the minute the announcements are made, meeting dismissed, then the seed's gone. This is the problem, right? This is the problem with our heart. If we let the daily routine harden our heart, then when the word comes into your heart, it gets taken away. So we need to soften our hearts. We need to ask the Lord to soften it. But how can we get our hearts softened? The verses that we read in Ezekiel 36, it said already, the Lord wants to give us a new heart. And what kind of heart is this? A heart of flesh. A soft heart. But you know, the Lord wants to give you this heart. It also requires you to get it, to take it. If God gives you the gift of eternal life, if you don't take it, you can't receive it. So in the same manner with the heart, God is ready to give you a new heart that is soft. But if you're not willing to turn to take it, you will not get it. And then your heart will remain hard. And then when the word is sown into your heart, it will not stay. It'll be taken away. You ever wonder why the word just all of a sudden disappears? Right? And then the matter of the hidden stones. Right? The hidden stones. What happens to it is when the seed goes in and it sprouts, because of that heart underneath, the root cannot grow very deep. Then when the hot Southern California sun comes out, what's going to happen to that vine? It'll shrivel up and die. Well, this is the same problem with our hearts today, brothers and sisters. We need to realize, in the meetings, you hear the word about laboring on Christ. You say, praise the Lord, I want to be faithful to the Lord. You receive it with joy. But we still have these hidden rocks in our heart. And then a trial comes. Your wife disagrees with your right idea. And then that hidden rock stops the word from going deep. And the withering starts happening. And then we explode like a volcano, right? This, you laugh. This is a practical experience of what happens to us. We might hear the word and receive it with joy, but if there are hidden rocks in our hearts, it will prevent the word from bearing fruit in our heart. Right? The same thing with the weeds. What does a weed do to a garden? It chokes off the plants, so it doesn't produce fruits. Sometimes it's the weeds are so thick, the vine cannot even break through because it's choked off. But what is this weeds, the thorns and thistles today that chokes the word out of our heart? It's the cares, the affairs of this life. But even if it comes out, how is it going to come out if there's so many thorns and thistles there? It cannot. You have to clear out the weeds. But what are the weeds that's choking it off? It's the cares of the world today, the cares of our life. You know, you might receive the word with joy, but the minute Monday starts, you're already worried about work. You're worried about this deadline. You're worried about your boss here. You're worried about this exam here. You're worried about that midterm there. You're worried about changing the diapers here. You're worried about doing laundries here. You got to clean the house, and you've got to mow the lawn, and you've got to... So many things are occupying our lives so that it chokes off this life that wants to grow. So now you tell me, how are we going to produce the fruits for the offerings, for the Father to enjoy? So we have to take out these thorns and thistles out of the heart. It's not, I'm not telling you don't wash the dishes. I'm not telling you don't do the laundry. No, no, we all have to do that. But you know what? Those are all wonderful opportunities to begin to experience Christ as many offerings. Right? All of these things in laboring in the land in terms of dealing with our hearts is a wonderful opportunity for us to experience Christ as one of the many offerings. This is practical, brothers and sisters. It's a wonderful opportunity. Right? This is the preparation of the ground. Because if we take care of the ground in our hearts, what will happen? What did the parable say? It will bear fruit. How much fold? How many times? Up. What did it start with? No, it didn't start with 30. It said 100 first. 100-fold, then 60-fold, then 30-fold. Exactly. 100, 60, and then 30. So I mean, the potential is there. If you have a good ground, then there will be 100-fold times of fruit that will come out from the ground. You have to realize Christ is this rich. We have to have the right ground. We have to have the right heart. If we have the right heart, that will be producing a lot of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the humanity of Christ. And it causes change in our daily life. But without a proper heart, without preparing the soil, without preparing our heart in that kind of way, it's very difficult to produce fruit. So now that's just the preparation of the ground. Then it was also mentioned we need to what? We need to sow to the Spirit. What is it that we sow?
Word.
The Word of God. Into the heart. Right? So, you know, after I prepared the ground in our backyard, then you have to sow seeds, right? Now, it's very interesting. The instructions said, if you put in a tomato seed, you need to spread out every 6 inches, okay? And, you know, when I was young, I was going, every 6 inches, that's too little. I wanted to sow a lot of seeds. So I put not just one seed in the hole, I put like 5 seeds in the hole. And then I only separated by 1 inch, and I put another 5 seeds. And I emptied out the whole package in the garden like that. Now, what do you think happened? Sowed a lot. I reaped a lot. Okay? There are a lot of seeds. Okay, so what we need to realize is this. If we sow sparingly, we will get only a little bit of fruit. But if we sow abundantly, we will get a lot of fruit. And I learned that the firsthand. And that was a lot of fruit to deal with. All these vines coming out, all the tomato vines stepping all over each other to the point where I didn't know what to do. I had to rip some things out just to kind of have some more room to be able to pluck off the cherry tomatoes from the vine. But the point is, we need to sow and sow abundantly. And the Word of God needs to be sown into our hearts. How are you going to produce the fruit? How will we produce the fruit if we sow sparingly? Do you want to enjoy a lot of Christ or a little bit of Christ? Huh? A lot of Christ. So if we want to experience a lot of Christ, we need a lot of sowing of the seed into our heart. We need the Word of God sown into our hearts. And if we sow by the Spirit into the heart, the Word of God, don't you think it's going to produce a lot of fruit? I have to testify, it does. Much fruit will be produced and much can be enjoyed. And as we enjoy it, we begin to realize the fruit that we enjoy of the Word put into our heart, the implanted Word. It has to be planted into our hearts. This is the verse that was quoted in James. You know, the Word is not just made to be just kind of sown. I mean, spread on the surface. It needs to be planted in. When it's planted in, it can then begin to take root and bear fruit. Right? So this is important. We need to realize, how often are we sowing the Word into our heart each day? We talk about being diligent. You've already heard a lot about we need the Word put into our hearts. How often do we sow the Word into our hearts? You want to experience Christ as the meal offering, as the anointing that teaches us all things. How can the anointing, this holy oil, teach you anything if there is no word sown into your heart? Because remember, it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit as our helper, who reminds us of what the Lord has spoken. This is how the anointing works. If you want to know what God is speaking to you, you cannot just pray, 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 pray without the Word of God in your hearts. But if you really want to know what the Lord is speaking to you, then you have to sow the Word into your heart. And as the Word is dwelling in your heart, and you are sowing by the Spirit, you're living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, as we talked about this morning, if we walk by the Spirit, the Word will be brought back into remembrance in our heart. And this is the anointing that leads us. And this is your experience of Christ as the meal offering. Right? So all of this is for our experience to produce the fruits for the feast and for the offerings. We need to take care of this. And this is, I just talked about the heart, but what about the church? Have you ever considered the church as God's farm? We talked about the church as the spiritual temple, the house of the living God. Do you realize the church is also a farm? How do you know? 1 Corinthians what?
Chapter 3.
Let's turn to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's start with verse 6. Let's read verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. Let's read this together. Okay? I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Aha. Do you see? Do you see this wonderful field? We also need to realize, besides our hearts, we need to realize that the church today is also God's field. So the laboring, the planting, the sowing of the seeds is not just into our own hearts, but it is also to all the brothers and sisters here in the church. We also need to do sowing in the church. The watering, the planting and the watering. Right? What are we doing? Do we sow to the flesh with one another? Huh? And what's the result of sowing to the flesh? It reaps what?
Corruption.
This is Galatians chapter 6. This morning we read. So if you sow to the flesh in your daily life, you will definitely reap corruption. Have you ever thought about if you sowed in the flesh in the church, what do you think you'll reap? Also corruption. Right? So that means we also need to learn to sow to the Spirit in the church. What is it that we're sowing into one another, brothers and sisters? Is the Word of God being implanted into one another in the Spirit? Right? So we have to realize Christ is our good land, but through Christ came the church. And the church is also a place where we sow. We sow the seed, the word of life, into the hearts of all of the brothers and sisters. And what is it that we reap? This is also part of laboring in Christ. And so we need to realize how important the sowing is. This is part of the laboring. And it goes into the hearts. It goes into the church. So we have to take care of this, right? If we want a lot of fruit in the church, how will we get the fruit in the church? the same thing. We already fellowshipped about it. We have to take care. We have to till the ground. We have to take the weeds out, take out the hidden stone. And you know, after the seed is planted, do you then just leave the field alone? That's one thing I also learned. I planted this and then there's all sorts of stuff growing. You know, it's not just the tomato vines that were growing. There are a lot of other weeds growing. So you have to maintain it. You have to each day take that out. It's the same thing with us. How often do you think a weed will sprout up in your heart or in the church? How often?
Every day.
Okay, now this brings up a good point. We talked a little bit about leaven for the meal offering. If we want to keep the feast of the unleavened bread, you have to purge the leaven. What is leaven? Do you remember? Yeast. And what does leaven do again? It causes the dough to expand and also to soften up. So when you eat it, it's not so hard, right? Okay. Can you see yeast or can you see leaven in a dough?
No.
No? Are you sure?
No, we cannot.
Huh?
We cannot see it.
You cannot see it. You might smell it, but you cannot see it. So you have to realize leaven is hidden, right? So when you're going to bake a bread and you put yeast in it, you need it to rise, right? So what do? You put some cloth over it and you put it in a kind of a dark, a warm, but somewhere away, right? You have the blanket over it, right? Something over it, right? And then a few hours later, what's going to happen? Okay. So now think about this. You remember we talked about how do we prepare Christ as the meal offering? How do we keep the feast of the unleavened bread? Now think about this in your practical daily life. If the bread with leaven is going to expand like that pretty big in just a couple of hours, now think about the leaven of pride in your heart. Okay, you might not think there's pride in your heart, but rest assured me, there is pride in your heart because it's hidden. Remember, leaven is hidden. So you might not think there's pride in your heart today, but there is pride in your heart. Now, you don't do anything about it. What do you think is going to happen 2 days later? 5 days later? It's going to grow. You have to realize it. If you don't deal with the leaven, it's going to grow. Okay, now, so let's say, since Uncle George is talking about with the husband and wife, you know, okay, so I'll give you an experience. So sometimes Sharon and I will try and figure out what's a better way to do it. And in my heart, I always, just like George, I'm right about it. This is the right way to do it. Okay. And I'll try to be, quote, humble, so I'm not going to really say it. But I'm hoping that'll be said. I left it there. Okay. So then I don't do anything. Okay. I realize it's what I want. But I didn't realize it was my pride. So I do nothing with it. I don't purge it. I just let it sit there. And then later on, when we actually really need to decide, and then it's not what I wanted, then what happens? Aha, that leaven grew. And now it results in a sharp disagreement. Right? That's just from not dealing with that little bit of leaven, it turns into a sharp disagreement. Okay. Now think about it in the church today. You know, you do something. Let's say, for example, you're serving and you spend all the time cleaning the floor. Okay? And nobody acknowledges and thank you for cleaning the floor and things like that. So in your heart, you go, nobody noticed. But you didn't do anything. You just said, I'll just forget about it. Okay. The next week, the floor is dirty again, and you see nobody doing it. And then you go, okay, I'll go do it. And I do it. And again, nobody says anything. And now that little feeling inside, nobody said anything, turns into, how come nobody's appreciating what I'm doing? Right? You think about it. this little leaven will grow. And the point I'm trying to get across here is, if you want to be diligent to labor in the land, diligent to produce the offerings, you have to be diligent even in these kinds of things, the preparation of the offering, to deal, to purge the leaven. If we don't purge that leaven at that very moment, it will turn into something. Just like when you put the dough in the corner, it'll go, and if you don't worry about it, it goes even bigger, right? This is the problem. Now, you laugh, but if you think about your own experience, if you don't purge the leaven out of our hearts, this is what will happen. Your heart will go, and then eventually something doesn't happen the way you want, and you'll explode, and all that leaven will come out, right? And then now you spread the leaven to the whole lump, because I will say, hey, Peter, you know, they didn't appreciate us cleaning the floor. Oh, I gave a little leaven to him. And then that, if he doesn't deal with it, then that leaven will grow, and then it'll spread to Brian. And before you know, the whole lump is leavened, right? But brothers and sisters, I'm bringing this out because this is really at the core of what we're speaking about in laboring in Christ, laboring on the good land. It's not just that the fruits are produced, but the process, the wheat, to deal with making the unleavened bread, all of this requires our labor, and it requires us to be diligent. If we don't want the leaven to spread, and if we really want to partake of Christ as the meal offering. Right? So, do you realize now how wonderful and how rich of a Christ we have? As the good land. Something that we can partake of, because all of this is for us to cause change. It causes us to be transformed, to be conformed into the image of His Son. Last night it says, if we behold Him, we're being transformed from glory to glory into what? The Lord's Spirit. This is the matter of us being transformed. The true worship, we have to realize, the laboring on Christ as the good land, this is God's wisdom in helping us become transformed, matured, full sons of God. Right? This is His wisdom in doing that. But the way He gets us to do that, ultimately, again, the goal of laboring, the first and foremost goal, as we see here in the outline, is to bring the first fruits of our laboring on the good land to offer up Christ as a spiritual sacrifice as acceptable to God our Father. Do you see that this is the true worship? This is the true worship of God our Father. Don't forget, this is what He's been seeking for the last 6,000 years. Do we love God? That doesn't sound convincing. Do you all love God, our Father? Yes. Yes. Do you want to satisfy Him? Yes. And do you want to satisfy Him the way He wants to be satisfied? Yes. So then we need to prepare the offerings. We have to. If we don't prepare the offerings, then He will not be satisfied. But we realize that when we prepare Christ as the burnt offering, that causes change in our being. It causes us to become more absolute for God our Father. It refines our humanity so that we will live Christ and exhibit the fine humanity of Christ in our daily life. We'll be led by the anointing. Not by men, but we are led by the anointing. And then the peace. I heard some of the offerings yesterday about peace. We all want peace, yes? You want the middle walls of separation broken down, yes? Right. Can you imagine if the whole world was enjoying Christ as the peace offering today? We would not have any wars. Then how about in the church? To learn to offer Christ as our peace offering. My, if we all experience this, there'll be much peace here in the church in Toronto. And then, how many of us have this part of sin that we just can't figure out how to overcome? Huh? There's always something part of us that you feel like, I just can't overcome it. A lot. Okay, a lot. There's a lot. So, Who has dealt with that a lot? Christ, as the Lamb of God. When you were baptized, your old man was buried, which means your sinful man was buried, which means sin has no more dominion over you. This is what the Word says. Christ has become your sin offering. And if you're willing to take Christ, today I want to take Christ as my sin offering. I do not want this to have dominion over me. And just say no to it and say, the Lord, right now I take you as my sin offering. Have you ever experienced the Lord in this way? You know, when I finally figured out the difference between the sin and trespass offering, that made a huge difference in my life. Because I'm always thinking about the trespass offering because I'm always messing up, always sinning, always making the same mistake, and I got tired of that. And this is where Christ as the sin offering came in to become reality in my life. Now, I can't say that I've overcome in everything yet. I still have a lot like you. But there are areas in my life that I'm beginning to realize, yes, Christ is my sin offering, and sin has no dominion over me in that particular area. Now, can you imagine if you take Christ today as your sin offering in so many of the areas that you wish you can overcome? Try it. I challenge you to try it because I tried it and I saw the work in it, and now I want it in more areas of my life. Christ as the sin offering. And then, of course, as I said, we all have no excuse of not experiencing Christ as the trespass offering. How many of us messed up once today? Oh, come on. You're saying nobody messed up? How many of us messed up today? We at least made one little problem today, right? Okay, now you have an opportunity to experience Christ as the trespass offering. All you have to do is just confess to the Lord. And He is faithful to what? Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Are you sure?
Amen.
Then you've already experienced Christ as the sin offering. Then you can at least bring that as an offering to the, trespass offering. You already experienced a trespass offering, yes? Peter, did you experience a trespass offering? Yes! So then why not offer that to the Father? We can offer this to the Father. This is all part of the laboring, brothers and sisters. Right? And this is what the Father wants. Do we see this? Once you see this, then everything becomes an opportunity to prepare Christ as an offering for the Father to enjoy. I told you about this app, right? There's this app, you know? And download this app. If you haven't tried it, download it, because you'll begin to realize if you start tapping in your offerings into there, your experience of Christ as the offering, you're going to see it start filling up. Think of it as a basket, because there was a passage, I forgot the passage in the Word, where it says, fill your basket. Oh, what was the verse? I don't remember. Okay, anyways, the point is, when you look at, when you go through the week and you start tapping in, and you only need 160 characters, you guys can put a lot of stuff in 160 characters when you tweet and when you do Instagram and Facebook, that's all 160 characters. Just put that in really quickly to remind you what you experienced. You'll get a lot of this. You're filling your basket up. And at the end of the week, all you have to do is go back through your basket of offerings and say, which one is the one I will bring to the Father? Come on, you all at least have experienced the trespass offering, right? And some of the trespass offerings, okay, maybe you don't, you may not want to share it, but we're not telling you to share your life details of, you know, how sinful I was. No. That's not what we're talking about. But what we're talking about is some area of your life that was changed because you experienced Christ as that offering. And bring that to the Father. Take the best and bring it to the Father. Every Lord's Day to do that. This is what He wants. And if we do that, then we can get to point B. Ripening of the believers to be harvested as first fruits to God at the second coming of Christ. Realize this, brothers and sisters. As I said a little earlier, this is God's wisdom in preparing us, in maturing us to become the very first fruits God desires. Don't forget in Revelation 14, we're speaking about the first fruits. These are the living Christians on the earth who will be taken to the heavenly Mount Zion before the throne of God prior to the great tribulation. These are the first fruits, that is, for the satisfaction of the Father. Verse 4 says what? The ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. See, you see the first fruits. First fruits are not just what we saw in Deuteronomy, the laboring there. If we are faithful, if we are the faithful ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes, then we will be those, week after week, as we experience Christ, prepare Christ as all the spiritual sacrifices. This will actually cause us to mature, to ripen. And if we do this and we are faithful, He can ripen us quickly, just like the verse that we read earlier in 2 Peter chapter 3. We all have the ability to hasten the coming day of God. Don't think that, oh, only the Father knows when the Lord will come again. Yes, that is true. But don't think that, that's not going to be in my lifetime. No. Realize that we all have the ability to influence how quick the Lord will come back. We can really hasten His coming. And if we learn to become the true worshipers of God, where we labor on the land, we keep the feast, and we bring the offerings week after week, we all will be transformed. And if we're transformed, eventually we will become the first fruits. We have that potential. And this is very clear in Revelation 14. They are redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Amen. Now, do you all want to be first fruits?
Amen.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you really sure?
Amen.
Okay, so if you want to be a first fruit, then we should become the true worshipers. For sure, we need to become the true worshipers. And if you want to be the true worshiper, then you will have to bring the offerings. And if you bring the offerings, you will be transformed. Right? And this ultimately will satisfy God our Father. He not only gets His food, but eventually we become His satisfaction. Realize, remember, Christ is the firstborn from among the dead. Christ is the first fruits. But we also will be a part of that if we learn to prepare the offerings, learn to keep the feast, learn to labor on Christ, learn to satisfy the Father with the offerings that He wants, right? And not only will be first fruits, it will ultimately prepare all of us, the saints, to rule with Christ in the coming millennial kingdom age. Chris, do you know what the destiny of a Christian is? What is the end goal of being a Christian? Have you ever wondered that? Okay, I don't know if he's understanding me. Ting ba doa. Do you understand? Okay, so what is the goal of the Christian? Okay, we better turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and let's read verse 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Okay, if you have it, let's read it together, okay? And from the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the rulers over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Aha, did you get it? Verse 5. To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us to sit Sunday after Sunday after Sunday to listen to sermons, and have no change in our daily life for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And at the end of 70 years, we just go to heaven. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? Then what did it say? No, 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 no. I think you have the wrong version. What version do you have? Same as mine. Okay. Same as mine. Then I'm reading with a filter. I must be reading with some colored glasses. No, I'm not wearing glasses, sorry. Okay. It says, and has made us kings and priests. Well, how do you think you can become king and a priest? Have you thought about that? Now, how do you become a king and a priest? How do you become a fully matured, qualified son of God to be a co-king with Christ and to be a part of the royal priesthood? How do you do that? Learn to prepare the offerings. Really? No, I'm serious. Because think about it. How, okay, if you're going to be a co-king with Christ, what does that mean? Who's the King of Kings? Christ. And if we are co-kings of Christ, who do we need to listen to? Christ. So how do we learn obedience? Huh? Which offering? How do we learn to be obedient? Burnt offering, right? Okay. You see why you need the burnt offering is so that we will learn obedience to the Father. We will learn obedience to carry out His purpose. And that's where Christ is the burnt offering is needed. Right? And then to become kings and priests. The point is for us to become fully matured, qualified to reign with Christ in that coming kingdom age, we need to grow and we need to mature. That's the destiny of being a Christian. Now, you don't believe that? Let's go on. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. What does it say here? What does it say here? Let's read it together. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. You see here? It is not just Christ reigning over the nations in the coming millennial kingdom age, but it is also with those who have overcome, those who have been fully matured. Okay? You still need more proof? Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 5. What does it say here? Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and His throne. So here, refers to, the male child refers to all of the Christians, all of God's people who have passed away, but they were the ones who overcame. They were the stronger part. And it's the minority of God's people. These ones were raised from the dead and taken to the throne of God. And the reward is what? They will also rule together with Christ in the coming millennial kingdom age. All right? Need some more proof? Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 6. Let's read this together. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Right, so they shall reign, meaning the ones who have ripened to become full sons of God, to become kings and priests, they also, these are the ones who will reign with Christ in that 1,000-year millennial kingdom over the nations. Right. And guess what? We will also reign for eternity. If you go on to Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, very last chapter, what does it say here? There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Okay. So, clear? The preparation of the saints to rule with Christ in the coming millennial kingdom age. This is ultimately what will happen to us. If we all learn to become the true worshipers of God our Father, it's very simple. This is a wonderful picture for us to see. Realize that God our Father is the one that we worship. And God our Father has his place, his dwelling place that he wants us to gather today as the church. And in his house, he wants us to learn to prepare and to bring the offerings. Christ as the spiritual sacrifices. Because when we experience Christ, when we prepare Christ as these spiritual sacrifices, it causes us to be changed, to be transformed, which ultimately will bring us to full maturity, to be first fruits. And it's also for us to feast. But to feast on him, we need to labor to get the produce. And the more we labor on him, then the more we will have the fruit for the offerings. Do you see how wonderful and how wise God has presented to us for us to be able to begin to partake of, to begin to experience, begin to apply today? Don't wait. Don't wait to download that app and start tapping in your offerings, you, for the young people, or and also for the older saints. But the main point now is, brothers and sisters, I hope it is clear. You know, it's no longer about us. It's about the Father. Because ultimately, what does the Father want? The Father wants his kingdom to come back down upon this earth again. His kingdom rightfully belongs on this earth. Right? So, we want the Father to have his kingdom on this earth, right? Yes. And we want our Father to be satisfied, right? And we now realize what the true worshipers are, right? Yes? Yes. So then, let's prepare the offerings. And let's keep the feast on the Lord's Day. Don't forget, the Lord's Day, the Lord's table, is the time of the feast. Come and bring the offering. Keep the feast, bring the offerings. And you can already experience this in your daily life. So we pray for those who have not yet been born of God, receive him. Enter into God's family. Really, you have nothing to lose, everything to gain. And for those of us who are in the house of God, on this path, let's hasten the Lord's return. Amen. We want to see the Lord come back quickly, yes?
Amen.
Well, then let's put this to work. May the Lord be with you all here in the church in Toronto. And we pray that the word would spread to all of the other localities, that we would all rise up to do this. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.